Judges chapter number 6 in your Bibles tonight. We'll read the entire chapter. It's lengthy, but I feel led of God to read His Word. I don't think we ever make a mistake doing that. We're going to the man Gideon, and what an appropriate message and song for the life of Gideon. Gideon was a man that he really didn't believe God could use him. As a matter of fact, he questions God, and in the end, he begins to trust the Lord, and God used him in a very mighty way. And tonight's message is titled, God Chose Gideon. God Chose Gideon. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Judges chapter number 6. Follow along as we read God's word. The Bible says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Here's what's going on here. The children of Israel, once again, in the book of Judges, has sinned against God, and God has turned them over to their enemies. And their enemies in this instance are the Midianites. The Midianites are actually cousins. They're of the seed of Abraham, not the chosen seed of Abraham, but they are cousins, and the Midianites are notorious for loving the world. As a matter of fact, it was the Midianites who bought Joseph and then sold Joseph into slavery. And the Midianites, they were bottom line type people, but they were pagan and evil in so many ways. Here's what they had done. For 7 years now, the Midianites have allowed the children of Israel in hope to plant their crops and grow their fields and prepare for the winter. And about the time all the crops got ripe and ready to harvest, the Midianites 7 times now have come and they have stolen or destroyed all of Israel's food and bounty for the year. That's cold and cruel, isn't it? And that's what they've done. And God needs someone and chooses someone to make this stop. The Bible says in verse number 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Now God has told him, I'll wait right here until you bring your offering, and I'll prove. He's met with the angel of the Lord. He says, I'll prove that this message is from God. Verse number 19. Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. In verse 25, we get an understanding of the situation that Gideon was in. Gideon's father and family were Baal worshipers. They were Israelites, they were Jews, but they had fallen and they turned their backs on God. And Gideon's father was a Baal worshiper, so much so that he had both raised up an altar to Baal and he had raised up a grove. A grove is literally some type of ornate pole that was a symbol of worship and some of the most lewd forms of paganism. It was a grove. So when you get the idea of a grove, it's not like a grove of orange trees. It is a pole that is set up and it's ornate. It's a god to these people. And it's a place where they did atrocious things in the name of their god, Baal. And the Bible says in verse 26, build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. God says, now look, you go tear down the altar of Baal. You tear down the grove. And he said, okay, I'll do it because you've proven to me that you're God. But he says, I'm scared. I'm not going to do it in the daylight. I'm going to do it in the night. So in the night they go and tear down the grove. The Bible says, verse 28, when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? He says, are you going to stand up for Baal? He says, will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself. Joash thinks quickly. He is a Baal worshiper, but he says, if Baal is a real god, let him plead for himself. If he wants to do harm to get him, let him do it. By the way, any god other than Jehovah God, you have no need to fear. He has no power. Baal couldn't come because Baal didn't exist. Baal was something that men used to appease the lust of their flesh and justify their wickedness. The God of the Bible is a God that's righteous and holy and pure. And he doesn't call on his people or allow his people or encourage his people to do things that hurt them. or things that are wicked and hurt others. So Joash, Gideon's father, says, well, if Baal's a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. I believe Joash still is a Baal worshiper at that moment. And the Bible says this in verse number 32, therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against himself because he hath thrown down his altar. What do they say? They said, we're going to give Gideon a nickname. Mr. You tore down Baal's altar, we're going to call you Jerubbaal because we're going to let Baal plead. That literally means let Baal plead. Let Baal plead for himself. Let Baal plead his own case. And so they, instead of calling Gideon Gideon, they call him Jerubbaal. And we see that show up several other times in the scripture. He gets that nickname, Jerubbaal. The Bible says in verse 33, then all the Midianites, there's the enemy. It's the eighth year. It's time for them to show up and destroy the harvest. It's fall. Everything's getting ready to be harvested. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, whom also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, unto Zebulun, unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. So Gideon says, with God's help, I'm going to gather an army. We're going to face this. We're not going to let them take our food one more year. And I like that spirit. So he sends out, and he sends out a plead for help, and the people answer. They answer to the tune of 32,000 people. And here we see the faith of Gideon. It wanes again. Verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. And we'll conclude our reading there. And I want you to pay attention to a couple verses in this passage of Scripture. Over in verse number 11, the Bible says, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. The Bible says in verse number 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. God chose Gideon. God chose Gideon. Now here's a problem. We got a big problem. What's the problem? The problem is the children of Israel, because of their sin, are really under the chastening hand of God, and the Midianites, in their wickedness, have impoverished the nation of Israel. 7 years in a row, when everything has come to a head and it's time to harvest and prepare for the winter, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east have come and they destroy all the crops. That's cold, isn't it? It's evil. And the children of Israel, after nearly 8 years, you know what they do? Aha. We probably ought to cry to the Lord. We ought to ask God for help. Isn't it sad to think of how many days and how many weeks and how many months and how many years we continue in our wickedness and our sinfulness, when all along, if we would just cry to God and we would give our rights over to God who wants to give us his blessing, isn't it foolish to think how long we live in rebellion when all we have to do is humble ourselves and cry to a loving God who in turn will show his love and mercy and give us his blessing? By the way, if you're here tonight and you're living in rebellion to God, no matter your age, you are neglecting and forsaking the sweetness and the joy and the peace and the hope and the blessing that only an eternal God who has the power to create everything that he is with the power of his voice and wants to bless your life. How foolish we are to live in rebellion to God. The children of Israel for 7 years rebelled against God. And finally they're like, man, we're getting ready to, the crops are ready, and if things continue the way they have been, and they probably will because the Midianites are evil, we're probably getting ready to lose everything we've worked for all summer. They said, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of being under the bondage of sin. I'm a bit tired of being under the wrath of God. I'm tired of being under the chastening hand of my heavenly Father. And I said, you know what? We ought to cry to God. And when they cry to God, you know what God does? God raises up a judge, and God chose Gideon. Now, when you think about Gideon, don't be thinking about somebody who's just wonderful. He didn't come to them with a great education. He didn't come to them with a pocket full of money. He didn't come to them with a gut full of steam and a man with great character. That's not it at all. You see, God loves to use people that you wouldn't expect God to use. And I'm so thankful for that. And when we look at the life of Gideon, we need to be reminded that we live in a world full of Midianites. And the world is stealing our harvest. They're stealing our children. They're stealing our teenagers. They're stealing our marriages. They're stealing our joy. The world is stealing our peace. The world is stealing what God wants to bless us with. And God desires, out of a crowd like this, to raise up Gideons, not people who've never done anything wrong, not people with a spotless character, not people with great ability and skill, not people with courage that's extraordinary, just regular old people. That's why Jesus chose out of his disciples fishermen and tax collectors, people nobody liked even, to shake the world. And folks, I want you to know something. God chose Gideon. And the end of the story looks like this. On this year, in the eighth year, the Midianites do not take what God has blessed us with. Why? Because God chose Gideon, and Gideon obeyed the Lord, and God used him in a mighty way. God chose Gideon. Number one, God chose Gideon, a man with fear. It's exciting to look through this passage of Scripture, and God doesn't tell you how wonderful Gideon is. As a matter of fact, God discloses to you a lot and even a host of Gideon's weaknesses. Be encouraged, people. You could stop the harvest from being stolen. You can stop the moving of Satan in your life. You can stop the progression of sin. You say, I can't, though. I'm a man of fear. So was Gideon. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. What was the kind of guy was Gideon? Gideon, was he the kind of guy that's just out in the open doing what he wants to do, saying, come and get it, boys, if you dare? He says, I'll fight you. No. By the way, you thresh wheat on a threshing floor. You see, the threshing floor was a wide open, hard spot out in the open where the breeze blew through. And you'd thresh the wheat. You'd keep the wheat because it was heavy, and the wind would blow the chaff away. A wine press was a hole in the ground where people put grapes and they stepped on it with their bare feet, and then everybody came along and drank it. That sounds fun, doesn't it? I like that. What was he doing? He was a chicken. He wasn't standing with his fist up saying, come on, I dare you. Man, he was trying to just thresh what little bit of wheat he could so nobody could see it, so the Midianites wouldn't steal it. He was a man of fear. You say, I could never serve God. I could never do something great with my life for God. I could never give a gospel tract. I could never give a witness. I could never. Whatever you look and that God's put in your heart and you say, I could never do it because I'm a man of fear. I'm a woman of fear. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. And God wants to use you. God wants to use me. It's a miracle. God used a man of fear. What was Gideon? A great man of faith. No, he was a man of fear. Number two, God chose Gideon. Gideon was a man with questions. Gideon was a man with questions. Gideon, he didn't really even believe God. He had got to a place in his life where he didn't even know if God was real. And the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, and they have this conversation. Look what the Bible says in verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Now we know the answer to that. The children of Israel had turned their backs on God, and God, as a loving father chastening his children, has allowed them to be turned over to their enemy. But Gideon at this point, he can't see the whole picture, and therefore he's got some faithlessness that's rolled up inside him. And he's a man with questions. He's questioning God. This great man, Gideon. We name our boys Gideon because what a great name. What a great guy. God chose Gideon, but Gideon was a man of questions. He looks at God's angel and says, "My Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." He was a man of questions. Does that sound like the kind of guy that's going to shake the world? Is that the kind of guy that's going to defeat 135,000 of God's enemies? I don't sound like the kind of guy that do it to me, but I'll tell you what, that sounds like the kind of guy that do it to God. And you may be here and you're a cynic and you've got questions and you've got doubts. Hey, look, you're in good company. I ask questions all the time. I'm determined I'm not going to do stuff just because I've always done it that way. I'm determined to be led. I'm determined to be changed. I'm determined to be instructed by God and His Word. And I don't want to walk around in my pride thinking I know everything all the time. And Gideon, he said, "Look, I don't even know if you're real. I don't even know if God's real." He says, "As far as I can tell, it looks like God's forsaken us." A little bit later, he'll look back and understand that God's chastening was on the people. And it wasn't God forsaken, it was God determined to bring his children and restore them back to favor. What kind of guy was Gideon? A man that God chose, but he was a man with fear. He was a man with questions. Number three, actually look at verse number 15. "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" The angel says, "Oh, you're going to save Israel in your might. You're going to save Israel." And he says in verse 15, "Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee." He was a man with questions. He said, "Look, I'm poor and weak." But you know what God did? God chose Gideon. Number three, God chose Gideon, a man with weak faith. A man with weak faith. Now, Gideon's just had a conversation with the angel of God. Now, I don't know what the angel of God looks like, but it should be convincing, and I'm sure it is. He's a man of weak faith. You know what Gideon does? He has the audacity. This is the kind of guy Gideon is. Who would ever think God would use Gideon? Here's the kind of guy that Gideon is. The angel of the Lord says, "Here's what I want you to do. Your family, we're going to start small. You're going to rescue the children of Israel out of the Midianite bondage. But the first thing you're going to do is I want you to go and I want you to tear down the altar of Baal in your town, and I want you to tear down the grove." The grove? Man, Dad paid a fortune for that grove. Dad put a lot of work and effort into that altar to Baal. He says, "I want you to tear it down because you know that's not of God." And Gideon did. "You know that's not of God." And Gideon says, "Well, all right, but you're going to have to prove to me that you're God or that you're God's representative." He says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get an altar and I'm going to go get a sacrifice and I'm going to bring it to you and you'll have to prove that you're God." The angel of the Lord says, "All right, I'll wait right here." That's what it says. I don't think he says right here, but that's what he says. He says, I'll wait right here. So Gideon goes and gets his offering and brings it back. The Bible says that in response to his question, he questioned God. In response to his question, God stooped himself down to Gideon's faithlessness and gave him an answer. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord took his staff and touched the offering, and out of the ground came fire and sucked it up. Gideon says, all right, you're God. All right, you're God. Okay, you're God. I believe you. He says, I'll tear down the altar of Baal tonight. He's scared to do it in the daytime. He gathered 10 men with him, tore down the altar of Baal, tore down the groves. God blessed him. He was a man with questions. He was a man of weak faith. After God blesses and he tears down the groves and he tears down the altar, and God says, now we're going to face the Midianites. What did Gideon do? Yes, I'm full of faith. Yes, I'm ready to go. No, he's still a man of weak faith. After all that God had already done and proved himself mighty, after he watched the angel of the Lord burn up his offering with a flame out of the ground, first time he ever saw that. After that, God says, you go and you're going to feed the Midianites. He says, okay. He says, but prove it to me. He says, here's what I want you to do, God. I got this fleece. I got this sheep's wool, fleece and hide. He says, here's what I want to do. By the way, he wastes 2 days because of his faithlessness. He throws out the fleece. He says, Lord, now, I'll believe you want me to fight the Midianites if tomorrow morning I get up and the fleece is wet and the ground is dry. So the next morning he wakes up. It's like Christmas morning. He runs out of his tent. And sure enough, he picks up the fleece. The ground's dry all around it. He picks up the fleece and he wrings it out and wrings a bowl full of water out of it. He's got God's answer. So he goes and fights the Midianites. No. Gideon was a man of weak faith. What'd he do? He said, now, Lord, you've answered me, but, you know, how about just one more? He says, how about tomorrow you make the ground dry, the ground wet, and the fleece dry? How about that? He goes to sleep and wakes up the next morning. Sure enough, he goes out. The ground is wet, the fleece is dry. And he goes and fights the Midianites. And God gives him great victory. But I just want you to know something about Gideon. Gideon was a man of weak faith. But you know what? God chose Gideon. God chose Gideon. And God blessed Gideon. And God wants to use you. And God will bless you. One last thing. Gideon was a man with a failure family. Some folks think that in order to be a preacher, you've got to be the son of a preacher. In order to be a missionary, you've got to be the son of a missionary. In order to be a servant of the Lord, you've got to be the son or the daughter of a servant of the Lord. Folks, I want you to know something. God uses people that come from all assorted backgrounds. Sure, God calls preachers out of preachers' homes. But I'll tell you this, God calls preachers out of drunkards' homes too. And God uses the children of the vile to bring glory to himself. And Gideon, in case you're looking, thinking, I don't know if God could ever use me. Do you know my family situation? Gideon was a man that came from a failure family, a checkered past, a family full of Baal worshipers. You know what his family did? When he decided to start living for God, now he was on and off. When he decided to start living for God, they made fun of him. You know what they called him? Jerubbabel. The crazy nut that tore down dad's altar to Baal. You're Jerubbabel is what you are. You're the crazy wacko that tore down the grove. We've had that thing for 8 years. You're nuts, Jerubbabel. Can you hear it with disdain? By the way, if you get to a place where because of your faith and service for the Lord Jesus, you take on a name that seems a little bit shameful, rejoice because you're in good company. They didn't call him Gideon. They said, you're Jerubbabel, the nut that tore down the altar to Baal. You know where else that happened one time? The early church. How many of you are Christians now? Would you raise your hand? Do you know that began as a name of shame? They got the name Christian first because the world was ridiculing the early church. And they said, Christian, you're little Christs. Little Christs. Hey, little Christs. Christian, Christian, Christian. I think through the Bibles, you see Gideon named Jerubbabel and mentioned. God's given him praise. That's a Jerubbabel. The world said, Jerubbabel. And God says, Jerubbabel. The man who stood up against Baal. The world says, Christian, 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 little Christ. And God says, Christian. Somebody that stands for Jesus. Do you know that Baptist was a term just like that? They called them Baptists first because this group of people were reading and studying the Bible and come to the conviction that folks in the Bible were baptized after they got saved. And so this group of Christians who are adhering to the Scriptures, and a lot of them had the Scriptures for their first time in the English language because it had just been translated, and they began to study God's Word and understand, oh, wow. All these New Testament Christians got saved and then they got baptized. And as far as we can tell, they got baptized by immersion. And this group of people, just trying to honor God and His Word, they said, hey, you know, I got saved, I got baptized as an infant, but I don't find that in my Bible. And I got saved, I know I'm saved. You know, I probably ought to get baptized. I had a dear elderly lady this past week talk to me. And she said, preacher, would you baptize me? I said, I'd love to. She said, I was raised a Methodist. I got saved when I was 12. She said, but I've been studying on it. And I think God wants me to be baptized. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I'd love to baptize you. There's a group of people who said, hey, you know what? We probably ought to honor God and His Word. Let's get baptized. I'll tell you, there's a group of denominational people all over the world who got upset about it. And they said, we know what kind of people are, those Bible thumpers. We're going to call them Anabaptists. That literally means rebaptizers. They shortened it to Baptist. And they're like, these guys that are not adhering anymore to infant baptism. Baptist, Baptist, Baptist. Baptist, Baptist, Baptist. Hey, we liked it so good we put it on our sign. What'd God do? God took a man that was very weak and God used him. God chose him. The world made fun of him, Jerubbabel, the nut that tore down the family altar. And God says, Jerubbabel, the man that stood in faith. Though weak, though fearful, though a questioner, though a failure family, God chose Gideon. What did God use him to do? Oh, it's so exciting. I'll probably tell you next Sunday night. But I'll give you a little insight into it. God chose Gideon. All those 32,000, I think, men from the different little nations of Israel, they all gathered together, and they're going to take on, by faith, they're going to take on the Midianites and their allies, 135,000 of them. And God says to Gideon, you got too many. It's too many. He says, I want you to call everybody together, and I want you to send out a message to the different groups. And he says, anybody that's scared, send them home. You know how many people were scared? 22,000 left. 10,000 remain. He says, all right, Gideon, I can just imagine Gideon. Man, he's a man, so and he we see what kind of guy he is. He's like, man, this is rough. It was bad enough trying to fight him with 32,000. And God says, Gideon, you got too many people. What? You got too many people. He says, if we go to war with 10,000, the Israelites, I know them. They're my people. They're men of the flesh. They'll think we did it. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to thin the herd a little bit. He says, I want you to, when everybody goes down to the brook to drink, those 10,000 people go to drink. I want you to have folks watching. Everybody that gets down on their hands and knees and sucks the water and laps it up like a dog, I want those people out of here. Send them home. But everybody that kneels down and takes the water in their hand, cups it up and drinks it, those are the guys I want to use. I can just imagine Gideon, Lord, please don't let any of these guys bend over and use their hands. 9,700 men bent over and lapped water like a dog. Gideon obeyed and sent them away. And 300 men, God uses 300 men. And Gideon's faithful 300 men, you know what they did? They went down in the valley of Jezreel. That's where the Battle of Armageddon's going to be. They go into the valley of Jezreel. And God, with his mighty hand, and 300 faithful Gideon-like men, Jerubbabels. God uses 300 men that blow trumpets, shine lights, and shatter pitchers to confound and destroy the entire army of the Midianites. That's what God does. Even with people of lesser character and lesser background and lesser faith. Hey, God chose Gideon. I want you to know something. It's no secret. Midianites didn't take the harvest from God's people ever again. And God doesn't want us, the people of the Chilhowee Baptist Church, to just sit idly by while the world steals our children, while people who call themselves men and women of higher education, and theologians who don't even believe in Jesus, that's no theologian at all, rob their minds. And while society teaches us that the way of God's word and the way of faith in Christ is not accurate, is not relevant anymore, that's a lie. God wants to use men and women and boys and girls who'll say, hey, I may not be perfect, I may be far from it, but if God wants to use me, he can. And I'll just say this, God chose Gideon, and God's chosen us and you individually to stand up for Jesus and be counted and stop the movement of the world. And stop the thievery of Satan and claim God's bountiful harvest once again. May God help us. God chose Gideon. He's chosen you too. Aren't you glad? Let's pray.